Okay. Last time we began discussing about the criterion of Rishus HaRabim, and specifically whether a Sratia, a Derech HaHolech in the early year, an intercity highway, may have a different status than other forms of Rishus HaRabim. So we noted the comments of the Ramban on Daf Nun Tes indicated within the position that a Rishus HaRabim must have Shisha Rebo. That may not be the case when it comes to a Derech HaHolech in the early year, that an intercity highway could be Rishus HaRabim even without Shishim Rebo. We noted the Magen Avraham on Shulchan Aruch here in Simon Shin Mem Hei quotes Derech HaHolech the early year as a type of Rishus HaRabim Lamaisa, and we noted Rosh Hashanah's position, who is very strongly in the camp that a Derech HaHolech in the early year is Rishus HaRabim even without Shishim Rebo, something that's main function is a highway, doesn't need Shishim Rebo. So that, in Rosh Hashanah's mind, that could either be a highway that's within a city limit, like the Harlem River Drive FDR, where even though it doesn't leave the bar of Manhattan, it only serves as a highway. There's no foot traffic, there are no red lights in the middle, there are no stores on the side, as opposed to something like Broadway, which does leave Manhattan, but is basically a street with crosswalks and red lights and buildings and stores. That would not have the status of a Derech HaHolech the earlier. But let's take a look now in the Rishonim to see if there are any clear indications as to whether indeed a Sratia requires Shishim Rebo and what other poskim have to say l'maisa. So there is a Tshuvas HaRashba. Tshuvas HaRashba is noteworthy for another interesting point that he makes, which we'll get to a little bit later. Tshuvas HaRashba is in Chelek Aleph Simen Tuf Shin Kuf Beis. Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelek Aleph, Tuf, Shin, Kuf, Beis. The Shiloh the Rashba was asked was whether a non-Jew could be asked to carry something outside on the Jew's behalf on Shabbos, since the presumption of the Shoel is that we don't have a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa anymore. So can you say that's considered a Shvus, the Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah, a double derabanan, where B'Makom Mitzvah would be permissible? So in the Rashba's answer, the Rashba talks a little bit about the definition of a Rishus HaRabim. He writes, Da sheyesh Rishus HaRabim af al pi she'eino rachav kol kach ve'ein ovrin shishim riba. That you could have a Rishus HaRabim even if it's not 16 amos wide. So we're going to get to talk about 16 amos wide hopefully later today. No other Rishon that I'm aware of says that you could have Rishus HaRabim that's not 16 amos wide. But the Rashba says you could have Rishus HaRabim even if it's not 16 amos wide. The Ein over in Shishim Rebo, even if you don't have Shishim Rebo, kiss Sratia Platia. So Rashba here writes that Sratia Platia have a different criterion for becoming a Rishus HaRabim than Mevoos HaNifilashin, than regular streets. Sratia Platia could be a Rishus HaRabim even if it's not 16 amos wide, and even if you don't have Shishim Rebo. So you can add the Rashba to the camp that holds that a Sratia could be a Rishus HaRabim even without Shishim Rebo, even if in general you do require Shishim Rebo as part of the definition of a Rishus HaRabim.
But isn't a Sratia that is a Derech that goes Me'ilir?
Right.
So you're just saying before that, he's even including that as
the Rashba here is saying even if that's not 16 amos wide, and even if you don't have Shishim Rebo, that's still Rishus HaRabim, as opposed to a street inside a city, which would only be Rishus HaRabim if it has 16 amos width, and if it has Shishim Rebo.
Yeah, we found that interesting, because the discussions before started on 600,000,
right?
We didn't see anyone saying, even if it wasn't 16 amos wide.
Right, so that's a big chiddush. It's the Sefer La'arei V'Ruvo, which we'll quote a little bit later, written by, I'm not familiar with the Mechaber, but it's a Rabbi Sacher Dov Rumpler of Tzvat, written in Tavshin Samach Dalet, 2004. So he has an arichus where he tries to minimize the significance of the Rashba in this tshuva, that he doesn't really mean it, but at face value, the Rashba is saying even 16 amos is unnecessary. 16 amos we'll get to discuss in its own merit a little bit later. Okay, but Hanugelin Yenenu, the Rashba here seems to say that you can have a Sratia that's Rishus HaRabim even without Shishim Riba. Nevertheless, other poskim are not choshesh for this position necessarily. I think we noted last time Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, quotes from Rishon Zalman. Rishon Zalman was mefakik whether that's the case. Rishon Zalman didn't think that even an intercity highway would be Shisha Rabim without Shishim Rebo. Rabbi Konigsberg has very good notes on the Sechas Erevin, so he points out that there's a Masas HaShakel in Simin Shin Nun Ches. Masas HaShakel in Simin Shin Nun Ches has a comment that nowadays we don't have a Derech Chutz La'ir that has Shishim Rebo. It's a passing comment of the Masas HaShakel. Shin and Ches, I think, Sivkata and the Magen Avraham Sivkata and Yud Aleph. The Master of the Shaka there just says that, yeah, nowadays we don't have Shishim Rebo in our intercity roads. So he seems to assume, by making that comment, that you would need Shishim Rebo even for an intercity road, even for a highway, to be a Rishus HaRabim. The Avnei Nezer, before the Avnei Nezer, the Smack seems to say that as well. The Smack, in the classic pagination of the Smack, is page Resh Tzadi Vav on the bottom. Page Resh Tzadi Vav in the smack, there the Smack is going to the Malacha, so Sad being the last one. So the Smack there has a line, Rishus HaRabim Hisratia Uplatia, Perish Racha Tezainama, Ubikia Soshi Shemiva B'nei Adam Bokinbo. So Rishus HaRabim is a Sratya and Platya, meaning it's 16 amas wide and has Shishim Rebo. So Smack pretty clearly, unless you put a comma after, he's definitely saying a Platya needs Shishim Rebo, and it sounds like he's saying a Sratya needs Shishim Rebo as well, unless you put a period, unless you read it as Rishus HaRabim, he's Sratya, period, Uplatya, Perish, Racha, Tazayin, Ubekiyah, Shal Shishim Rebo. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like those details are modifying both Sratya and Platya. So the Smack then is saying that even a Sratya requires Shishim Rebo to be defined as a Rishus HaRabim. Avnei Nezer quotes a Rush that seems to say that as well, that you need Shishim Rebo even for Sratya. Chuas Avnei Nezer is in Arachayim Simin Reish Ayin Gimel Os Gimel. Arachayim Simin Reish Ayin Gimel Oskimel, the Avnei Nezer there is responding to the tshuva of Rabbi Shula Kuttner that we quoted last time. Shuas Malka Sivan Kavav, again, Rabbi Shula Kuttner advocated the position that a Saratya is a Rishus HaRabim even without Shishim Rebo. The Avnei Nezer, in addressing that tshuva of Rabbi Shula Kuttner, quotes a Rush. The Rush is in Beisa, the third parak Simon Beis. Beisa parak Gimel Simon Beis. He says the Rush also sounds like even a Derech HaHolech Mi'ir La'ir, even an intercity road, would require Shishim Rebo. How does he know that? The Rush there is discussing what is the status of an object that is brought Michutz L'Tchum on behalf of a Jew on Yantif. So the presumption there is that, normally speaking, if a Melacha D'Oraisa is done on behalf of a Jew, a non-Jew does a Melacha D'Oraisa on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos or Yantiv, then not only is the Jew not allowed to benefit from that Melacha on Shabbos or Yantiv, then he also has to wait after Shabbos until the Chodesh Yaseh, until the amount of time that it would take that Melacha to be performed. So you can't benefit from that Melacha the second Shabbos is over. You have to wait until the amount of time it would have taken for that Melacha to be performed and the product of the Melacha to be created on Motzai Shabbos. So the Rosh there is discussing what is the status of an object brought on behalf of a Jew on Shabbos in violation of the Isser of Hotzah. So do you have to wait b'chdei she'yaseh? And the Rosh there writes that nowadays ein locho shema hiviu hagoy derech reshus harab misratya platya. So if the non-Jew brought it within the city is definitely not a Rishus HaRabim. And you don't have to be choshesh that maybe the non-Jew brought it from outside the city, or from, let's say, a Sratya, or from a Platya. Delosh Tichi Ha'inna Rishus HaRabim the Shishim Rebo Bokinbo. Because nowadays, we don't have Rishus HaRabim from the Shishim Rebo. So Rush clearly is assuming that a Sraf, you also have to have Shishimimo. Don't be Choshesh that maybe he brought it from a Sratya, which is a Rosh Hashanah and Daraisa, because even our Sratyas don't have Shisha Rebo anymore.
Right. And I guess he the Rashba was the one who was addressing that, even telling a guy, like, it's not really a Shvus to Shvus, it's still Aser.
The truth of Rashba was in the context of
also telling
a Shvus to Shvus, correct.
And he says, like, maybe you'll tell me that that it's not really Rosh Sarabim.
Mm-hmm.
So that says only Kamas is Darabbanan and the Mila Akim is Darabbanan. So she's just a Shus. But he says that's not, we don't say that though.
But he says that for other reasons in terms of Shus to Shus, not that it is Rosh Sarabim Daraisa.
I'm asking the Rush didn't feel like that. He felt that it wasn't a problem.
So the Rush isn't. The Rashi isn't addressing the same exact issue as the Rashba. The Rashba was asking whether you can have a non-Jew carry something on your behalf on Shabbos at Tzaruch Mitzvah, which would have been a Shvus to Shvus, potentially. And the Rashba there is machmir even on Shvus to Shvus, meaning right. He assumes, even if it is a Shvus to Shvus, in this situation, a Shvus to Shvus would be usher. The Rush is addressing whether you have to wait b'chdei shiasa if something was done the iser. Now, if it's a
guy, but it's assuming that it's also
right. Now, the there may be a difference in terms of b'chdei shiasa if in the Rashba's case, in the shvus to shvus malka mitzvah. Even if you could be machmer shvus to shvus malka mitzvah, you wouldn't necessarily be machmer b'chdei shiasa. The Rush is not talking about the malka mitzvah. So it's not exactly the same issue. But Hanogel and Yaneinu is just how they fall in terms of whether Isratia requires Shishimibo. So the Rashba assumes that Isratia does not require Shishimibo, and the Rush and the Smak assume that Isratia does require Shishimibo.
Is there a reason we're different
from Malcolm itself? In this particular case? So many are made. In general, we're makel on a shvus to shvus. There is what to be makel about on a shvus to shvus of malka mitzvah. Why that particular case? The rash was machmir. He did have other factors as well. Then maybe it's only a single shvus. But that
it's like two separate derabbanans. It's not a shvus to shvus. It's
the rishonim's pasimach to be mekel.
I'm sorry.
The rishonim's pasimach to be mekel.
Again.
The rishonim's pasimach to be mekel. You're saying.
By shvus to shvus, malka mitzvah.
Right. Just not pasimach.
So.
There are different types of shvus to shvus.
It's also true. It's right. So in a vacuum, I'm not sure. Meaning that the Rashba here is zeroing in on a very specific application. We're not. The
rishonim often do that. Because
right.
Okay.
So you'd have to see. We'll have opportunity to talk about Shvus to Shvus Malka Mitzvah when we get to Real Akram later in the year. That's not our topic now. So we'd have to see how the Rashba addresses the topic in other contexts. Also,
common. Have you shown him passing differently Malka
Mitzvah?
Is it Gemara?
Yeah, but you're asking. Shvus is just about. Those are sugyas of what situations in Mila Nachri's Mutter. Those are sugyas in Shabbos. We'll get to that later. Okay, fine. So let's go back to our topic. Okay, Rabbi Woolley points out he thinks the Mishnah Brewer's Mashmos is that you need Shishim Rebo even in a Derech HaHolech Mi'er Li'er. If you take a look, Mishnah Brua Simon Shin Mem Hei Sif Katan Yitzai, we quote some Magen Avraham. Shin Mem Hei Yitzai, if you have it in front of you. Mishra writes, Rechobos, drachim she'ovri me'ir la'ir havigamken rishis harabim. That's the Magen Avraham. Mishum d'shchichi bam rabim, because they have rabim present. So Rabbi Willa thinks that's mashma rabim meaning shishim riba. Sipkat din yizayin. Shimem hay yizayin. First simon in Chelad Aleder. So that line, Mishum d'shchichi bam rabim, sounds like you need shishim riba. So if you have a derech holah for yearly year that has shishim riba, that would be a rishis harabim. If not, then not. So that's why Rabbi Willig had no problem including the Henry Hudson Parkway in the Riverdale Erev, even though the Henry Hudson Parkway is a highway and arguably a derech holah in the yearly year.
And I think you say it doesn't need to have 6,000 as long as you have that split above rabim.
So right, so that's what Machlokes Rishonim we just quoted. That's Machlokes among contemporary poskim. So Rabbi Willig is Makel, and Rishonim is Machmir. Rabbi Willig thinks the Mishmas and Mishab Brua is like the Makilim. As we said, Rishonim Zalman is quoted as being Makel, or at least being known to Lahakel. And Rosh Hechter points out this shaila is relevant for railroad tracks as well. If you have commuter railroad tracks, Rosh Hechter thinks that's also a derech holich near l'ir. That also would pose a problem for a community eruv, even if you don't have shishim ribo that use the railroad line. Aruch HaShulchan talks about that already. Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Kavav, Shimon Hei Sif Kavav, Aruch HaShulchan assumes that railroad tracks are Rishis HaRabim, but he also assumes that they have Shishim Riba. He seems to assume that the railroads that he's talking about would service Shishim Riba and be Rishis HaRabim for that reason. But this again is a Machlokes Achronim. That Tshuva Rishul HaKunder, Yeshuas Malkos Simon Kavav, assumes for a different reason that railroad tracks would not be Rishis HaRabim, because he thinks the railroad cars themselves aren't Rishis HaRabim because they're enclosed. If you have Ein Lecha Rishis HaYachid Gadol from an enclosed building, so a railroad car is an enclosed structure. People are sitting in the cars with a roof and walls, so that's a Rishis HaYachid, argues Rishis HaKadar. So in theory, I'm sorry?
The huge Kiddush, no?
That's a Yud Kaddish, but not one that he's not the only one to say that.
What about a car?
Presumably, the same discussion is had by cars, so he would presumably say the same thing by a car, that a car or a railroad car are a Shisayaka because it looks like a Shisayaka is an enclosed structure that people can sit in. That's what Mishul HaKunder writes. Marsham seems to say two things about this in two places. Marsham in Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Pei Ches. Marsham Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Pei Ches. The Marsham was the Rav of Brzezhan at the end. I think it was in Bialystok before it was in Brzezhan and other cities before that. The Marsham was a powerful posek in the turn of the previous century with a reputation of being a makel, but a force to be reckoned with. The story was that even though he was not a Hasidic, he had some shaykhs to bells. So at one point he was in the courtyard of the Sarshal of Bells, first Bells of Rebbe, and there were three people in the room, and the Bells of Rebbe said, speaking to no one in particular, that our door needs a posek who's capable of using the koach to be mekel. And then the Bells of Rebbe walked out of the room, and the Marsham asked the two other people in the room what they did professionally, and they were both balabat and they're businessmen, so the Marsham understood that the Rebbe was talking to him. And the Marsham built a reputation of being a phenomenal posek, but being often known to Lahaka. So in this Shaila, what's the Kula, what's the Chumra, isn't always clear. But the Marsham seems to say two things in two places. Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Pei Ches, he writes that a railroad track is not a Rishis HaRabim because it's not 16 amos wide, and it's not mefulish, which presumably he means doesn't go straight. Sounds like, though, that if it was Hesayin Amos wide, so I don't know what circa 1910 European railroad lines look like, or how wide they were, or how they compare it to American railroad lines. I think our railroad tracks generally are 16 amos wide. But the Marchand there sounds like, in theory, if it was 16 amos wide and it was mefulish, then it could be a Rishus HaRabim. Yeah.
What ends it? Because eventually it hits a city. So couldn't you kind of stretch of it as mefulish?
So if you have...
When you have that city.
So we will... Good, okay. So we'll talk... We're going to have to talk about mefulish on its own merits again. But in theory, if you have a derech haholach mi'early ear, which is mefulish for a long stretch, and then curves... If you require mefulish for a derech haholach mi'ir, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, that could potentially render not a rishus harabim, because it would have to be, if you're just like inside a city, a road has to be mefulish, be shar l'shar from one end to the other end. If you require mefulish for a intercity road, then arguably that has to be mefulish from one end to the other end as well. Inside the city, one end to another end are easy to define. Outside the city, if it's a highway that connects city A to city B, so arguably would have to be mefulish from city A to city B. But the Marshan there seems to be saying, as a practical matter, the railroads that he was talking about were mefulish, whatever mefulish means, and for that reason it's not Rishus HaRabim. But in theory, it could be Rishus HaRabim. And in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Samach Beis, the Marshan sounds like even if it was the Zayin Amos, it wouldn't be a Rishus HaRabim. Along the lines of Rishul Lekunder, that maybe a railroad car itself is definitionally a Rishus HaYachid. But you're correct. The same conversation about railroad cars is relevant to regular cars as well, relevant to wagons. Most poskim assume, not that the issue is Malka, most poskim assume that a car or a railroad car is not a Rishus HaYachid. If it's inside a Rishus HaRabim, that's part of the Rishus HaRabim. They point out, the Malka Ram sounds like that. And here in Simon Shemeh, Malka Ram, Sipat and Yudalid.
Most tracks are 16 amos wide.
Our railroad tracks are 16 amos wide, yes. Again, the Marsham made, I mean, what they were in Europe in 1910, I have no idea. But the Marsham is reporting that they're not 16 amos wide.
Is he counting one or two? Because two, and you always have two with each other.
If the two are next to each other, again, I don't know how it's constructed there.
If people walk on both sides of the road, does that count as two roads?
If you have a highway that has traffic in both directions, that's one road. So if you have two railroad tracks that are next to each other that go opposite directions, that would be one road. That would, both of those together would add up to 16 amos. So the Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Yudalid, the Mechaber is talking about what's considered a carmelis, the Mechaber Sif Yuches. So if you have a body of water, that's usually considered a carmelis. So Magen Avraham writes, Rishus HaRabim Nami Lo Havi She'eino Noach Tashmish Halichasa Menei Amayim. So if you have water, so water is not considered Rishus HaRabim because you can't easily traverse it. You can't easily travel through that body of water because it's full of water. So even if you're taking a boat, down a stream, down a river, down a body of water, that's not a Rishus HaRabim, because Rishus HaRabim has to be something that could be easily traversed, it sounds like, on foot. The Magabam sounds like the issue is only that it's not easily traversed on foot, but the fact that you're on a boat, which is covered up, doesn't, in and of itself, make it into a Rishus HaYachid. So the Magabam, the Mashma, said a boat, like a car, or like a railway car, would not, in and of itself, be a Rishus HaYachid. But again, most folks can assume, not like the issue of Malka, that a car is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Ramosha assumes that as well, and it's true with Sabbat, Manhattan, Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf Lamites, Anava, for example. Igus Moshe Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf Lamites, Anava, he assumes, as a Dabra Pashit, that the people traveling in cars count towards the Cheshbon of Shishim Ribo when you're counting the population inside a city. But this goes back, the first community Erev in the United States, as far as I know, was constructed in St. Louis in the 1890s. And this is one of the points of debate regarding that Erev as well. There's a machlokas between Rav Zachariah Rosenfeld and Rav Mordechai Yaffa, who were two rabbanim in St. Louis in the 1890s. They both wrote competing works about the feasibility of constructing an Erev and the Erev that was constructed in St. Louis, the Tikva Zachariah and the Shaul Ke'inyan. So Rav Zachariah Rosenfeld wrote Tikva Zachariah, Mordechai Yaffa wrote Shaul Ke'inyan. And one of the points of contention was this issue, whether a car is considered to be Rishus HaYachid or not. Rav Schechter points out, or at least what I've spoken about this one, he was unsure whether a exclusively commercial railroad line would also be considered a Derech HaHolach Mi'Erlier. A commuter railroad line is meant for to service the whole population. So that's a Derech HaHolach Mi'Erlier. What about if it's only for freight, only for cargo? If it's just commercial and not for people. So Schechter wasn't sure whether that would also be considered a Derech HaHolach Mi'Erlier. But in Passaic, where I live, for example, there are major tikkunim made for on the Erev for the last number of years. One of them was to box out the Amtrak / New Jersey Transit railroad tracks from the Erev so that the railroad tracks are bypassed and not part of the Erev because of this consideration that it could be a Derech HaHolach Mi'Erlier, which could not be included in an Erev. So out of deference to Shaftis' position, the Erev Passaic was the Ritikuna made to box out the railroad tracks.
So is that being machlokes for those that go against Rashi? Because I mean I don't think 600,000 people go on one Amtrak line one day.
Correct. Well,
whoever says
correct. We're working the assumption that you don't need Shishim Ribo in order to be Rishus HaRabim. Correct. I mean, Rav Schechter's position is that you don't need Shishim Ribo to be a Rishus HaRabim. Correct. Now, that original comment to the Rabban was within Rashi that even if in general you need Shishim Ribo, you don't need Shishim Ribo by Derech HaHolach Mi'Erlier. So that could be true L'Kulei Alma. Meaning, even if in general you do need Shishim Ribo, if it's a Derech HaHolach Mi'Erlier, you don't need Shishim Ribo. So anyway, you fall on that, right. There's still what to be mafir about, or maybe what to be mafir about by railroads, if you accept the position that a railroad doesn't require Shishim Ribo anyway. This goes back now about 14 years. 14 years ago, Rav Schechter was brought out at the request of some of the Rabbanim in Woodmere to check up on the Erev in Woodmere. The Erev in Woodmere had been built in the early 1980s under the direction of Rabbi Iyer, Zichrono Livracha, and pretty much just kept running itself for many years. And some of the newer Rabbanim in Woodmere wanted Rav Shechter to come out to make recommendations as to whether any tikkunim should be made. So I happened to have been one of the Bali Agala who drove Rav Shechter around on those trips, Rabbi David Mintz and myself, so we went out there about four times, spent a number of hours in each trip. So one of the things that Rav Shechter noticed on that trip, as we go through the Limud, we'll talk about others, one of the things that he noticed was that the LIRR tracks go through the Woodmere Eruv, and he thought that was a problem based on this consideration of Derech HaHolech Mi'Eliyir. So in the immediate aftermath of that trip, he made a number of recommendations that weren't accepted, and then over years, new management came over, and they made many of the tikkunim that Rav Shechter recommended, but the only one that was never made until today was the railroad. Why? Because even though the railroad goes into the Woodmere Eruv, it stops. The end of the line is there. So that, anyway you slice it, whatever the definition of mefulash is, which we'll probably get to next time, if it stops in the middle, if it's dead end, that's definitely not mefulash. So does a derech haholech mi'ir le'ir need to be mefulash?
A foolish in the sense that it goes through the city, or that
so for our purposes, everyone will agree that if it's a dead end, it's not mefulish. Whether mefulish means it has to be straight, whether it means it just can't be at a right angle, whether it even could be at a right angle, that we'll talk about. But everyone would agree that if it stops, that's not mefulish.
But maybe you're the last stop. Meaning, if it's the last stop,
right?
Being Does this Artia have to run through this area, or is it in the connect city? If you're telling me it's an interstate road,
right?
So the interstate stops at some point, but it still connects both places.
Let's say I hear the Hara. But there may be a difference between a Sratya that connects city A to city B and then picks up with a local road to continue into city B, and a Sratya that goes up to city B and then stops with nowhere to continue. Although I do hear you were saying. So let's just present what the discussion was over here. Rav Shechter assumes that even when it comes to a Sratya, just like a Sratya doesn't need Shishim Ribo, it doesn't have to be Mefulish either. A Sratya could end. That's essentially, I think, what you're saying. That a Sratya is a different category of Rishus HaRabim. Derech HaHolech Mi'Eliyir, an intercity highway. So an intercity highway serves the function of transporting people from one place to another place, from one city to another city. So since that is miyuchad for the rabbim, it's meant for traffic, even if you don't have shishim ribo, it's still considered shishim rabbim, and even if it stops at the end, but it fulfilled its function of transporting people from city A to city B, and therefore doesn't have to be the mefulash. That's as opposed to some of the other criteria of shishim rabbim, like tetzayin amo, or Eina Makura, which are more definitional. Those are things that we learn out explicitly from Duvya de Digle Midbar. Right? The Gemara is learned out. Tesayinam is a Gemara. And Eina Makura is basically also a Gemara. Those are conditions in the Etzem definition of Rishus HaRabim that if something's not Shishim Ribo, not 60 Namas wide, you can't call it Rishus HaRabim. It's not wide enough to service a rabbim. If something has a roof, so that doesn't look like a rishus rabbim at all. So Rav Shechter would distinguish between tesayin ama and eina makura on the one hand. Again, the Rashi notwithstanding, it says even tesayin ama is not necessary for a sratya plaga. Fine. But Rav Shechter would distinguish between tesayin ama and makura on the one hand, as opposed to shishim ribo and mefulash on the other hand. So if you have a derech haholech mi'eliyir, Rav Shechter thinks that mefulash is not a fisaron. If it functions to transport people from point A to point B, the fact that it ends at one point doesn't take away from that function. That's still a rishus harabim. And others assume, like Rabbi Kresh, who's the current Rav Mafshir of the Erev in Woodmere, who at the time that we went on this tour was later when the column there, he went along for the ride also. So he thought there wasn't need to be metaking the Erev there to box out the railroad because it stops, and even if you don't need Shishimiva, you still would need Mefulash on the Derech HaHolok Mirlir. So is there a... Are there riots in this in Rishonim?
Okay. So according to Rav Shatter, what would need to be Mefulash then?
A road inside the city.
We'd have to go...
Have to go from one end to the other. That we'll talk about the next time, session.
Okay.
But an intercity road doesn't have to be Mefulash. So are there riots for this question in Rishonim? Are there indications in Rishonim to this shaila, whether a derech holach merely ear, whether sratya has to be mifulish? So I think there's a mashmos in Rashi in the beginning of Erevin that even a sratya needs to be mifulish. First Rashi in Erevin, I think we quoted this for a different reason last time. Take a look at the Gemara. Mavi shugavoa. Rashi writes, and skipping a little bit, Umahi Rishus Harabim. What is the definition of Rishus Harabim? Rashi Ervin Beis, I'm now at the top, I'm reading on the third line now. Umahi Rishus Harabim. Sratya Uplatya Gedola. So you can have Rishus Harabim less than Tazayin Amos, and that's not Mefulash. So this line is modifying Sratya Platya, is it not? What's Rishus Harabim? Sratya Platya, Domi de Digli Midbar, and you can't have Rishus Harabim less than Tessainamo, that's not Mefulash. I think Rashi there sounds like even a Sratya Platya needs to be Mefulash, as opposed to a mavoi, which is not the sign on and is not the foolish. Yeah, you agree with Dirk?
He's going on. He says, though, even if it's, he says, Hilklo Havish Rabbin Bazar Mezli Amorov, Fulash Mezli Roshan. So, meaning that Chlor does include Sartia Baltia.
Right.
And even, also something that's inside of the city.
Also?
Something that's inside of the city.
Correct. But Sartia Baltia as well. It actually sounds like, even Sartia Baltia needs to be Mefosh.
Yeah.
Did you see the Chidush Eiran I put in the Mamar Kamos?
Yeah.
So the Chidush Eiran, I think, is mashma the other way. Even though not absolutely the Hachreach, this is the Chidushim HaMiyuchasim L'Ran. There are It's not the real Kiddush Eiran. In the middle, not the Masada Rav Kook edition, but the more modern printing of the Kiddush Eiran, they print two Kiddush Eirans on Shabbos. One of them was found later, which is presumed to be the real Kiddush Eiran, and the other one used to be thought to be the Kiddush Eiran. It's another Rishon, but not the Ran himself, but known as, from the same base Medrash, apparently, known as the Chidushim HaMichasim L'Ran. So there, Davav HaMin Alev and Shabbos, Kiba Maskel Sratia, he writes as follows. Sratia Platia, Perish Rashi, Sratia Mesila Shaholchen Bamir Lir. Okay? Platia, Rechava Shalir, Shem Miskaps and Sham Liskor. Fine. So, just quoting Rashi so far. Sratia is an intercity highway. Platia is a town square. Kasfara'a, Mistabra, to Platia Nami Bina Mifuleshes. It's what he bothered by. The Gemara says, Sratia, Platia, Gedola, Mivos, and Mifuleshin. So why does it only say Mivos and Mifuleshin? Doesn't the Platia also have to be Mifulesh? Then the Chanami. Platia Nami Bina Mifuleshes. Ella did the mivoros itzrich mishum deikastumin. When it comes to a mavoi, it's common to have a mavi sasim. You could have a mavi mefulish, an alleyway that's open on both sides. You could have a mavi sasim. You could have a dead end where it's only open on one side. So when it comes to a mavoi, there are plenty of mavi sasims around, just as a mavi mefulish. So you have to tell me mivos ha mefulish and l'shus harabim. That we're talking about one that's mefulish. A platya is normally mefulish, so you don't have to tell me that a platya is mefulish. What about the Sratya? So that he doesn't say. Misabra, Platya also has to be foolish. But the Sratya sounds like maybe doesn't have to be foolish. But he could have said, Misabra, Sratya, Platya, being a foolish. But he doesn't. He only says Platya. So I think there's a mashmos there that Platya, not Sratya. Maybe a Sratya does not need to be Mifuleshes.
It's a source of Mifulesh.
We'll talk about that next time in session. To the extent that there is a source, it's Dumya the Digli Midbar. But we have to start somewhere, so whatever we do, we'll have to leave room to round things off in the future.
It just sounds like it continues both sides. Because it says the Yoshim, as opposed to just the Mifulesh.
Again, sorry?
If it were straight, it would just right. Be foolish. It says Mifulesh Rosh.
Again, Mifulesh.
Which implies it could curve a bit. As long as
yeah, okay, so we'll talk about whether Mifulesh means straight or just means that it doesn't stop or that it's not a right angle. It doesn't mean Mechuvah. That's for the next year of session. In the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov, two volumes on Erevin. Written by Yaakov Zundel Kreuzer, not to be confused with the more famous Zundel Kreuzer. So he points out here, Chelek Beis Simid Lamed Ches, Seif Gimel, Chelek Beis Simid Lamed Ches, Seif Gimel, he thinks that there's a Ohel Moed also. Ohel Moed is one of the less popular Rishonim, that you'll find it in the Kovas Shitas Kamai. So in the Sefer Ohel Moed is a Rishon. He thinks also as mashma that you don't need mefulash when it comes to a sratya. Because in the presentation, the Sefer Ohel Moed, he says, he talks about how the mevoas has to be mefulashin, but he doesn't say the same thing by sratya. And that's what the Moshe Weissman assumes. Also, he quotes the same Ohel Moed, the Sefer Tzias HaShabbos, page Lamed Ches. He makes the same observation. And he thinks in the Tzias HaShabbos that a derech ha'olech me'el ha'ir, even if it ends at a dead end, that's still considered a Rishus HaRabim. One of the earlier contemporary Sfarim on Erevin from Eretz Yisrael is called Hilchos Erevin, written by Rabbi Elimelech Langa, who learned in Karbi Avna in the 1960s, I believe. The Sefer was published in 1973. So he also there assumes, without quoting any Rayas, as a Davar Pashut, that Esratia doesn't have to be mefulish. And this may be my focus we've shown him by a platya as well. Does a platya have to be mefulish? So we just saw that Ran that says Parshat of platya does have to be mefulish. In the Sefer La'are de Ruvo, he quotes the Raviyah. The Raviyah in the very first piece in Erevin, he writes, Saratya Hainu derech b'nei adam shemahalchen b'mi ir l'ir. So Sratya is a highway. Platya hainu rechov ha'ir, the city square. Shigidola u'mitsuyin sham b'nei adam omdin v'yoshin b'shok. V'nir li, says the Ravya, afilu eina mifulesh es mishar l'shar mishnei tzadim. The Ravya says, when it comes to platya, even if it's not mifulesh, it's still a rishos harabim. That's not like the Ran, and it's not like the Rashi we started with, right? Rashi in that base in Erevin seems to say that both Sratya and Platya need to be mefulash. So when it comes to Platya, that's the Raviyah. Sorry, that's the Ran and the Rashi, as opposed to the Raviyah, who says that it doesn't have to be mefulash. My impression is, in terms of what's out there in the world, that most Erevin constructed were not necessarily makvid to exclude railroad tracks, either because they're not choshesh that's a derech holach mi le'ir, or because you're not choshesh that a derech holach mi le'ir is just around that shishiribo, or in some cases maybe it's not mefulash, and those Erevin, especially in recent years, that have tried to be choshesh reshefter's positions have made tikkunim to exclude railroad tracks and intercity highways to the extent that that is feasible. Okay, let's talk a little bit now about Tesayin Amma as an independent requirement for Rishus Harabim. That the Gemara learns out in Daf Sadi Tes in Shabbos from the Agolas, that each Agola in the Midbar was 5 Amas wide. And there was a 5 Amma space between Agolas. So you had a 5 Amma Agola, 5 Amma space, another 5 Amma Gala, and then there's half an Amma on either side for a Levi to stand there in case anything would fall down. So you have 5, 5, 5 plus 2 halves, that's your 16 Ammas. So that's how the Gemara derives from the Mishkan, from the Agolas, that the Rishus HaRabim has to be 16 Ammas wide. Take a look.
What were the measurements again?
So there it was there. 5 each, it was like a two-way highway. So you had 2 agolas of 5 amos each.
Right.
You had 5 amos in the middle. And then on either end, you had half an amma where the Ben Levi could stand to make sure nothing would drop.
So there are 5 amos each.
So it's 5, 5, 5 is 15, and half an amma on either side.
Okay.
That's how the Gemara derives 16 amos from the agolas in the Midbar. Okay? And leaving aside that puzzling Rashba, who seems to say that you don't need 16 amos when it comes to a Sratya Platya, but that Rashba notwithstanding, everyone else assumes that 16 amos is a non-negotiable requirement for every type of a Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Akiva Eger, on the side of Shulchan Aruch here, quotes quotes a Sefer Shvisas Yantiv. Maybe this is Zayim. He's Mitzayim Sefer Shvisas Yantiv. What does the Shvisas Yantiv say? The Shvisas Yantiv says, one second, is it quoted? Here is just the tzion. I know someone else on the page quoted the actual excerpt, but I don't see it right now. Did you see anyone on the page quote what he actually says? No, so I must have seen it in the later form. Okay. So the Shvisas Yantiv that Rebbe Vegas Mitzayin says essentially that what we would call a sidewalk is part of the 16 Amos Cheshvan. So let's say you have a road that's 12 Amos wide, and you have a sidewalk on either side that's 2 Amos on either side. So you have 12 plus 2 plus 2 equals 16. That would be considered just a wrap. So if you have an area on the side, what we would call a sidewalk, that people can walk next to the street, that's part of the Cheshvan of the street.
Although nowadays, like you said, the roads used to be built to accommodate carriages and horses, mm-hmm. much smaller. Nowadays we have cars and we have lanes and stuff like
right.
that. Almost every regular street is going to be 16 Amos.
That is correct. But it's relevant.
When he was writing it.
It's relevant. I'm sorry?
Well, no, when he was writing it, it was still mostly...
But it's relevant for the following point, which I'll make in a moment. What he calls, the term that Sefer uses is kat. Katal rerum, or kat rerum. Kuf tes lamed, kuf taf lamed, resh yid resh vav mem. Katal rerum. So I think that's what we sound like a sidewalk, what we call a sidewalk. And he writes that even if the sidewalk is three tefachim higher than the street, it's on a different level, nevertheless, it's still mitzarev to the shir of tesayin amo. The Maksik Derech HaRabim Machmas Ribay Ha'am, because it's meant to service the road so that people aren't all forced to walk in the middle of the road. They can walk on what we call the sidewalk as well. So this Shvisas Yantiv that the Rebbe Vegas quotes assumes that when you calculate 16 amos, you're not only calculating the road itself, you're calculating the area on the side designated for people to walk on as well. But that's also relevant. The flip side of that is as follows. If a sidewalk would not be considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, so even if you have a row that's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, you could construct an Eruv on the sidewalk. Okay, let's say Amsterdam Avenue is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. So you can't construct an Eruv that's going to cross Amsterdam Avenue. But if a sidewalk is not part of the cheshbon of the Shesha Rabbim, you could make an Eruv on either side of Amsterdam Avenue and include the sidewalk. So you could have an Eruv that would allow you to carry from Moore to Reuben to Belcher, even if you can't carry onto the street.
But according to this, not.
According to this, not. So that's a kasha on, not so long ago, when there's no Eruv in this part, when there's no Eruv anywhere in Washington Heights, as long as Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was alive, no one put up an Eruv here because he was opposed to community Eruvin. But there was an Eruv that, so there's no Eruv on this side of Amsterdam Avenue, but there was an Eruv on the other side of Amsterdam Avenue that allowed carrying from the various apartment buildings to Reuben and Moore. It just didn't cross Amsterdam. So if this Rebbe Kivager is correct, then that didn't accomplish anything. if there was no Erev here, of course, Amsterdam Avenue out of deference to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's position, so then having an Erev on the other side of Amsterdam Avenue that included the sidewalk wouldn't have helped, because the sidewalk is mitzuref to the street. They used to make an announcement every Shabbos in the Beis Medrash that if anyone didn't realize that there's no Erev here, you can leave your keys at the Gaba. Because the Beis Medrash was on this side of the street, and you couldn't cross to the other side of the street because there's no Erev. Same kasha in Overlook Terrace, one of the apartment buildings there. Again, it used to be not long ago there was no Erev on that side of the Heights. Now there's an Erev that the Kehila doesn't hold of. But at the time that there was no Erev, not even one that the Kehila didn't hold of, so then some of the apartment buildings had their own private Erev in the front that you could carry in the courtyard in front of the apartment building. So one of the buildings on Overlook Terrace, I think the one across from the subway station, from the A-train station, had this little Erev in front that went onto the sidewalk. So again, if you assume like this would be bigger, that wouldn't help, because the sidewalk isn't served to the street, and if you hold that every street in Manhattan is a shith around them, then you can't put an Erev on the sidewalk either. So it happens to be that Rabbi Bloy in the Nesivos HaShabbos is skeptical about this Shmisas Yantiv. He thinks, no, if you have a sidewalk that's more than 3 tefachim above the level of the street, that's a shith with Ne'atzmo, and why should that be mitzuref to the street as far as cheshbening tezayin amah?
Do we have the stats, by the way, in terms of, like, does Amsterdam Avenue carry 600,000 people a day, or is it just the afsharas that there should be 600,000?
Well, we get to talk about Shishariba, we'll talk about those details. So I guess if you those who thought that there is a toelas in having an Erev that covers a sidewalk, even if it doesn't cover the street, assume, not like the Shvi Sityatav, not like the Rikiv Eger, that the sidewalk would not be mitzuref to the street in making Rishis Arab. Okay, there's an important position of the Rashba that the Chayei Adam quotes in the Nishmas Adam. The Rashba is in the Avodas HaKodesh. The Rashba has a chibur on, the majority of the chibur is on Erevin, called Avodas HaKodesh. Or the major part of the first section of the work, Avodas HaKodesh, is on Erevin and Rishiyas. So the very beginning of Shar Gimel, the Rashba writes that for Shesarabim, you need Tesayin Amma al Tesayin Amma. It has to be not only 16 Ammas wide, but it has to be 16 Ammas long as well. The Chayadim's bother, where did he get that from? It doesn't say that anywhere. We know it has to be 16 Ammas wide, but how do you know it has to be 16 Ammas long as well?
It's not much of a road if it's not 16 Ammas long.
Right, so that's what... So it could be that's Pashut. Nesivos Abayis, which is a super commentary on the Avodas HaKodesh, says it could be everyone used to that. It could be if it's less than 16 amos long, then that's nothing.
On the Bela Air or
inside? No, it's nothing. It's
inside
the city.
How would it be the Polish?
How would it be
the Polish?
If it's less than 16 amos long, how would it be the Polish?
No,
okay, well, so he says that by a platya also, and a platya...
Again, it's probably pasha. You're not going to have people with cows and fire.
Right, even if you don't need shishimibo, but how could it be a platya if it's not 16 amos by 16 amos? Now, again, the Rashi of that other shuva said that by a platya you don't need 16 amos at all, so that it's hard to see how that squares with the Rashi here in the Avodas HaKodesh.
So it doesn't need to be
Mephosh. So some say the context of the Rashi there is by Platya. So some say maybe the Rashi only meant it by Platya, that only Platya has to be 16 by 16. As a practical matter, extent you're correct, as a practical matter, you can't really conceive of a road that's not 16 amos long that's going to be mefulash. Yeah.
Town square, you could have a narrow.
You mean for a plaza?
A plaza, yeah.
Right.
You could have a town square that's not mefulash.
You could have.
If it doesn't need mefulash.
So again, the Rosh and the Tshuva assume that you need mefulash even there. But if you say it doesn't need mefulash,
you could have one where it's not 16.
It would still be difficult to believe. If you don't need mefulash, that's because that's.
If you have a narrow street where people go through to go to stores.
Right.
That wouldn't be. It's just
if it's 16 amos wide but not 16 amos long?
Yeah, so like you have a shuk in the middle of the town.
Right, so that's a very small shuk.
It could be long. It just depends on.
It could be long. Well, it has to be 16 amos wide. But you're saying according to Rashi and Shulah, it doesn't have to be 16 amos
wide. I'm saying it's 16 amos long, not 16 amos wide. And then it wouldn't be a shuk.
Okay. But again, as a practical matter, it's hard to conceive of such a mitzvah. The Chacham Tzvi writes in the Shuvah Lam Zayin that no one says like the Rashba, and how could that be? The Rashba makes another point that's mechudeshtik that the Chacham Tzvi is highlighting as well, that we'll see the way to be master tilting Rosh Hashanah is with the Vlasos Nuulas Balayli. You have to have doors that you lock at night, or you could lock at night. The Rashba there in the beginning of Shar Gimel, right, so when it comes to Platya, Vlasos Nuulas Balayli won't help. The Chacham Tzvi, sorry, finds that difficult to understand. Why shouldn't Vlasos Nuulas Balayli help?
Probably because people aren't used to have those choir at Laila. It doesn't function at night. Function of right, people travel the roads all the time.
Right.
Function of the Platya is that it's capital is chare. It is a town square. So
right. What
makes it a rishis rabim is not impacted that it's locked at night.
Right, meaning that its function continues even if you were to have doors around it that are locked. That doesn't impede the function of the Platya.
Right.
Good. Okay. Right. That's probably where the Rashi was coming from. The Meiri seems to say the same thing. Meiri Shabbos Vav Amud Aleph Dir Masal Ezer Rishis Harabim Shabbos Vav Amud Aleph. So he also writes the way he says it though is that the Platya, you can't be master of Platya with the Lus of Neulas around the city, but if you have the Lus of Neulas around the Platya itself, then that would work. So he's presumably saying like what you're saying, that if you have dilusis around the city, it doesn't impede the function of the platya. If you have dilusis around the platya, that doesn't impede function because then people can't easily access the platya. That's what the Meiri seems to say. And it could be that's what the Rashba would mean as well, which is, I think, what the Chacham Tzvi tries to say in the Rashba also. So that's another potential difference in this Rashba between types of Rishis HaRavim, that a platya isn't Nitar Ayde Vlas, it's the same way as in other Rishis Rabim. Parenthetic, Yerushal Mazam, and his quote is Shvir Shabbos, Perik Yazayin Ari Yazayin, Yazayin Yazayin, is saying that the Kotel Plaza does not have the status of a Platya, even though it's a big square, because it's not used for commercial purposes, it's only used for davening. Meaning the assumption there is you might have said that any big square where people congregate in a central location has a din of a platya. So Shlomo Zalman says that's only if they congregate for commercial activity, but not if you have a big square which is essentially a big shul, then that doesn't make something into a platya.
What's the source for that?
Well, the context, when all the Shlomo talk about platya, they say for business. Right. Correct.
But if we hold that platya has to be, who do we say that platya doesn't have to be foolish? Do we say that?
That we say is machlokas mishonim, machlokas between Rashi and the Ran versus the Rabbi Yom.
The Rabbi says it does not have to be. Is not.
Right.
Saying that the kotel is not I don't even know, what would a platya that's mefulash look like?
I think a platya that's mefulash would open up on either side evenly to, right. So then the kotel does not do that. Right, so that would be theoretical nafkamina in terms of whether it's considered a platya would be if you do require, if you don't require mefulash for a platya to make it into Rishis HaRabim, then even though it's not mefulash, maybe it's still Rishis HaRabim. Because if you don't require mefulash and you don't require your Shishim Ribo, then maybe you could say that's a Rishis HaRabim regardless. Okay. I will stop here. And next time, we'll talk about mefulash.